What's my subscription to the New York Times have me doing this week? Preparing a strawberry pretzel pie. Solving spelling bee with no hints. Planning a trip to one of the 52 best places to go. Getting to the bottom of the big pants trend.
Whoa.
And I'm finally replacing my vacuum with a recommendation I can trust. What will your subscription to the Times have you do? Why not find out? With our best offer, go to nytimes.com/subscribe.
From the New York Times, I'm Michael Barbaro. This is The Daily. Today, the infamous case of the wedding cake baker who wouldn't bake a wedding cake heads to the Supreme Court. It's Tuesday, December 5th. Jack, tell me about how you got into this line of work that you're in.
The art started, you know, right off. I was always drawing and painting, and, you know, that was a natural passion for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was in high school, all of my elective classes would have been anything that was available in the art rooms.
Jack Phillips owns a bakery in Lakewood, Colorado, just outside Denver.
And then after I graduated high school, then I needed a job. So a man that lived across the street from me owned a bakery,
mm-hmm.
and he was gracious enough to hire me. And so after I worked for him for a couple of years, he acquired another bakery and brought in people who did cake decorating. And then I realized that I could put together the baking that I was learning and the art that I'd always loved. And so I knew at that point that at some time in the future, I would open my own bakery and it would be a cake shop where I could create cake with art.
And how would you describe the kinds of cakes that you were making at your own shop, Masterpiece Cake Shop?
The cakes that we make, they vary. Sometimes they are very simple, but most of the time people come in and they want to get something really unique and really special and customized. So
mm-hmm.
wedding cakes was one of the things that I wanted to make as a specialty. We grew and we're becoming fairly successful and well-known across the town.
Jack, who came into your cake shop in July of 2012?
Two gentlemen came into my shop. They had a folder with them and had my wedding books open. And so I went over and sat down with them, introduced myself. We exchanged names, and they said, "We're here to look for wedding cakes,
mm-hmm.
and it's for our wedding." And so I tried to respectfully explain to them that, "I'm sorry, guys, I don't do cakes for same-sex weddings, but I would be glad to sell them anything else that I had in the shop."
Mm-hmm.
And they were surprised. They, you know, "What are you talking about?" Then they stood up, swore at me, and stomped out of the shop immediately. That mm-hmm. was as far as we got.
You know, and we were mortified and just felt degraded. And it was all the worse to have Charlie's mom sitting there with us. You know, you don't want your mom to see something like that happen to you. So, you know, we pretty quickly got up and we left.
We all had tears in our eyes. We felt embarrassed, honestly. And my mom gave me a giant hug and she just said, "It's going to be okay."
Adam Liptak, you've been covering this case. What do we know about how the couple responded to Jack Phillips' refusal to make their wedding cake?
They filed charges with the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. Colorado is one of the minority of states that forbids discrimination not only on the familiar grounds of race and gender and religion, but also on the basis of sexual orientation.
Hmm.
And they say that their rights had been violated, and they asked the commission to take action.
What did the commission tell Jack Phillips to do?
They ordered him to treat people equally, that if he's going to provide wedding cakes to opposite-sex couples, he has to provide them to same-sex couples. They ordered him to train his staff along those lines, and they ordered him to keep a log of any time he turned down anybody for any reason. And rather than comply with all of that, Phillips went out of the wedding cake-making business. He decided not to make wedding cakes for anybody. He told me he lost about 40% of his revenue, had to lay off several people, because he thinks that it would violate his religious conscience, his religious principles, if he were to participate in same-sex weddings in this way.
I was really surprised that a government branch would take the position that they have the authority to tell me which cakes I can create and which art I am not allowed to create, and to dictate and determine my life, my livelihood, according to what they thought social issues should be governed by.
A small town in central Pennsylvania is in the middle of a fierce debate after a store owner refused to sell wedding dresses to a lesbian couple.
Florist refused to provide flowers for a same-sex wedding.
Now, a pizza restaurant said it would not cater a same-sex wedding.
Photographers in New Mexico refused to shoot a gay couple's commitment ceremony, saying that it violated their Christian beliefs.
Saying it was against her Christian beliefs.
It's just, that's our belief. And everybody has the right to believe anything.
So cases like this are not particularly unusual. Photographers, florists, and other people engaged in expressive activities around weddings have sometimes refused to do business with same-sex couples. Mm-hmm. And the courts have almost uniformly said that anti-discrimination laws mean what they say. But then Jack Phillips does a long shot play. He asks the United States Supreme Court to weigh in on the case. And after thinking about it long and hard, the justices at the end of the last term in June say yes, they're going to hear the case, which means that at least four justices thought it was worthy of review. And there are reasons on both sides to think it's going to be a fairly close case.
The court announced it will hear the case of a Lakewood baker who refused to make a cake for a same-sex marriage.
It was a case that made national headlines back in 2012. David Mullins and Charles Craig denied service at this cake shop because of their sexual orientation. The cake shop owner, Jack Phillips, fought back, asking for the Supreme Court to hear his case.
And what is Jack Phillips' argument before the Supreme Court as this case moves ahead?
So his argument, in a sense, is a little surprising because his claims are rooted in religion. And so you might think his argument was that the government is violating his right to free exercise of religion. Mm-hmm. But that's not his main argument. The case is being argued almost solely on the grounds that this is a First Amendment free speech right that's being violated, that he is being compelled by the government to convey a message with which he disagrees. So the question for the justices is, if you do something for a living that involves expression, you're a painter, a poet, a songwriter, mm-hmm. a journalist, a lawyer, do you have the right to refuse to take on business because you don't want to say what it is the person who walked in the door wants you to say?
Hmm. So he is arguing that this is not at all about equality, but about whether the government is forcing him to say something. And it sounds like that something is that he agrees with same-sex marriage.
That's right. He says that if he creates a custom cake for a same-sex wedding, he is conveying the message that he approves of such weddings and he doesn't.
For that to be true, Adam, Jack Phillips has to show that his cakes are a form of speech, right?
That's true, but I think the court has been fairly flexible in allowing all kinds of things to be considered speech. A Jackson Pollock artwork, a parade, a video game. But my guess is that's not the ground on which the court decides the case. My guess is that even those justices who vote against Jack Phillips will say, assuming for the sake of argument that a cake is speech, you nonetheless have to serve the people who come into your store if it's open to the public.
One thing that's important to us is that people understand that if the Supreme Court found against us, it could open the door to many forms of discrimination. Could a hotel owner turn away an interracial couple because their religious beliefs said that people shouldn't marry outside their race? Or could a business owner refuse to hire a single mother because their religion believed that mothers should be married? It could open a real can of worms to many forms of discrimination.
Do you have any sympathy in any context for the argument that people involved in trades that have an expressive content should have some ability to decide what to say on whose behalf?
We do know that Jack is a baker, and though he asked for a cake, we didn't ask for a piece of art or for him to make a statement for us. And he simply turned us away because of who we are. We didn't even get a chance to discuss anything.
So on the other side of this case is essentially a civil rights argument.
That's right. And if you go back to the civil rights era, to the 60s, this was a hotly debated question of whether private businesses could be forced by Congress to open their doors to everybody, whether they could choose not to serve people. And we decided in the civil rights era, at least as regards race, the importance of setting things right requires the government to be able to force businesses not to discriminate based on race. And now that question is before us in the 21st century on this new category of sexual orientation.
Jack, how do you respond to the argument that what the couple in this case, Charlie and David, are fighting for are their civil rights to not be discriminated against when they walk into a place of business? And that if you allow a cake shop owner to turn down a same-sex wedding, then you could have all kinds of other businesses turning away other people on different grounds, race or gender or any number of other reasons, on the basis of religious liberty.
Those are entirely different questions. Race is not a factor in this. David and Charlie are welcome in my shop any day. I serve anybody who comes in. Mm-hmm. I just don't create cakes for every message that's presented to me. Mm-hmm. For instance, we don't do Halloween cakes. We don't do cakes that are anti-American or sexually explicit cakes. I don't do cakes that disparage people or even people who identify as LGBT. They're just guidelines that I don't do.
Do you understand why these two men feel like this was not just about the message of a cake, but about the very essence of who they are?
Well, the very essence of who I am has been greatly impacted by this, too.
I wonder how you would feel if someone told you that they wouldn't make a cake for your wedding. It sounds like you're married. Because of something that you might regard as an essential part of your identity.
You know, if it were the same kind of situation where somebody's faith were at stake and I would be requiring them to violate the essence of who they are and their religious identity, I would just find another place to shop and let them pursue their faith and live their life the way that Americans should be free to do.
Now to that historic Supreme Court decision legalizing same-sex marriage across the land, and it's profound. The 5-4 vote, in many ways reflecting the huge societal shift of the last 20 years.
Adam, because the court has already ruled that same-sex marriage is the law of the land, is this case about the next battle in the culture war, which is what happens to those who feel left out or somehow wounded by that decision?
That's exactly right. In a sense, it's a follow-on to the 2015 decision that established a constitutional right to same-sex marriage, because a decision that would allow all kinds of businesses that engage in expressive activities to kind of opt out of participating in that newly established constitutional right would kind of hollow it out and undermine it. You could also say the gay rights movement has achieved this fabulous victory, and if some small number of people want to opt out and dissent, maybe there's a room for that in a tolerant society.
Because you never know with Justice Kennedy. He typically sides with conservatives on most issues, but on the issue of gay rights, he's always seen it as one that was demeaning to gays and lesbians if they were treated differently. He worried about the dignity of gays and lesbians.
So the justice at the center of this case, Justice Anthony Kennedy, has written every major gay rights landmark, and his legacy will be as the greatest judicial champion of gay rights in American history. But he's also a real strong believer in free speech rights. And when I talked to someone not long ago who knew him well, he predicted that Justice Kennedy might well vote for Jack Phillips on the ground that losers get to complain, which is to say that having lost the big fight on same-sex marriage, those people who want to complain about, dissent from, carve out for themselves a space in which they don't have to go along with that decision, that Justice Kennedy might be prepared to go along with that kind of thinking.
And Justice Kennedy would be decisive.
Almost certainly.
This morning, the Supreme Court begins oral arguments in the case of Masterpiece Cake Shop versus the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. We'll be right back.
My name is Jasmine Ulloa, and I'm a national politics reporter for the New York Times. I grew up in Texas, on the border with Mexico, and I've been reporting in the region since I was in high school. Now I travel the country looking for stories and voices that really capture what immigration and the nation's demographic changes mean for people. What I keep encountering is that voters don't fall into neat ideological boxes on this very volatile issue. There's a lot of gray, and that's where I feel the most interesting stories are. I'm trying to bring that complexity and nuance to our audience, especially in such a critical election year. And that's really what all of my colleagues on the politics team and every journalist at the New York Times is aiming to do. Our mission is to help you understand the world, no matter how complicated it might be. If you want to support this mission, consider subscribing to the New York Times. You can do that at nytimes.com/subscribe.
Here's what else you need to know today. On Monday, the Supreme Court issued an order allowing the third and latest version of the president's travel ban to go into full effect while the legal challenges against it continue. The order overturns a lower court ruling that blocked the White House from enforcing much of its ban, meaning that for the time being, most citizens from the 8 countries listed in the ban, 6 of them majority Muslim, will be barred from entering the United States. According to the Times, this suggests that when the Supreme Court ultimately considers the lawfulness of the ban, it may be more likely to rule on behalf of the Trump administration. And 1 week before the special election in Alabama, President Trump has formally endorsed Republican Senate candidate Roy Moore, who's been accused of inappropriate sexual relationships with multiple teenage girls. On Monday morning, the president tweeted, quote, "We need his vote on stopping crime, illegal immigration, border wall, military, pro-life, VA, judges, Second Amendment, and more." Later in the day, the White House released a statement saying that the president and Moore had spoken by phone, and Moore tweeted that the president had told him, quote, "Go get 'em, Roy." Meantime, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who previously said, quote, "I believe the women," is now saying it's up to the people of Alabama to decide.
Well, look, the people of Alabama are going to decide a week from Tuesday who they want to send to the Senate. It's really up to them. It's been a pretty robust campaign with a lot of people weighing in. The president and I, of course, supported somebody different earlier in the process. But in the end, the voters of Alabama will make their choice.
Finally,
some people think that the natural resources of Utah should be controlled by a small handful of very distant bureaucrats located in Washington. And guess what? They're wrong.
President Trump, speaking at the state capitol in Utah on Monday, said he would dramatically reduce the size of protected federal land there by 2 million acres, the largest reversal of land protections in the nation's history. The president said he would shrink Bear Ears National Monument by about 85% and Grand Staircase Escalante by about half, a decision expected to trigger a legal battle that could alter the course of American land conservation as the administration pushes for fewer restrictions and more development on public lands, possibly opening up millions of acres to oil and gas extraction, mining, logging, and other commercial activities.
Together, we will usher in a bright new future of wonder and wealth, liberty and law, and patriotism and pride all across this great land.
That's it for The Daily. I'm Michael Barbaro. See you tomorrow.